Good evening. Our topic for discussion this evening is the need of endurance. We could call that the title of our lesson, the need of endurance. In our study, we'll be reading several passages from Hebrews, some from James, and some from some other books. We will consider the faith and the endurance or steadfastness of the heroes of faith, Hebrews 11. As examples of the type of faith and endurance we need to emulate if we are to inherit eternal life. Why don't you go ahead and mark Hebrews chapter 10 in your Bibles. We'll start in the latter part of that chapter in a moment. I'll be reading from the ESV. In our study, let us keep in mind the admonition in Romans 15:4. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. This applies positively and negatively. A positive example for us to follow when we consider the heroes of faith, Hebrews 11, and a negative example for us to avoid when we consider the unfaithful children of Israel who fell in the wilderness because of their unbelief. A dictionary definition of endurance from Dictionary.com: the ability or strength to continue or last, especially despite fatigue, stress, or other adverse conditions. Stamina. Merriam-Webster also has some definitions similar to this. The act or an instance of enduring or suffering. Some synonyms or words of similar meaning include perseverance, persistence, resoluteness. In the Bible, the term steadfast as an adjective or steadfastness as a noun are also used, as well as endurance, to describe faithful men and women of God. First, let's read from Hebrews 10:36-39. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. The Hebrew writer's declaration that we have need of endurance is more than merely a suggestion. It is a necessity if we want to receive what God has promised to us as Christians. That is an eternal inheritance, a home in heaven with God. This is contrary to the belief of our Calvinist friends who hold that once saved, always saved. those that hold this viewpoint believe that once you are saved, you cannot be lost, even if you no longer believe in God, or if you continue in a life of sin and disobedience to God. From a careful study of the Bible, we see warning after warning about falling away from God. In Hebrews chapter 3, we will not read it, but in verses 7 through 11, the Hebrew writer recounts the unfaithfulness of the children of Israel, God's chosen people, and the consequence that God did not allow those of that unfaithful generation to enter the promised land because of their unbelief. Then in verses 12 through 14 of Hebrews 3, the writer goes on, in view of the example of the Israelites' unfaithfulness, to issue a warning and a plea to Christians to remain steadfast. Hebrews 3, 12 through 14. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have all come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. We share in Christ if indeed we hold on to our original confidence firm to the end. We must endure. We must hold on to our faith in Christ. The Hebrew writer again brings up the unfaithfulness of the children of Israel in verses 16 through 19 of Hebrews 3. Let's read that. Hebrews 3, 16 through 19. For who were those who heard and yet rebelled? Was it not all those who left Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was he provoked for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness, and to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. There is no such thing as universal salvation, or the theory that God will eventually be reconciled to every soul and that everyone will be saved. On the contrary, there will be few who will be saved. Jesus said in Matthew 7, 13 and 14, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Few will be saved, not because the Lord is unwilling. The Lord's desire is that all be saved. Paul writes of this desire in 1 Timothy 2:4. Who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. While God desires that all people be saved, he does not force anyone to follow him against their own free will. We always have the freedom to choose who we will serve either God or Satan. Most are not willing to submit to the will of God. Some will begin their journey of faith, but they will not endure. They will not remain steadfast. They will depart from the faith. Let's go back to Hebrews 10 again, starting there at verse 36. Some versions use the term perseverance or patient endurance in place of endurance. This same thought about endurance is expressed in Hebrews 12:1 also. Hebrews 12:1 refers back to those heroes of faith in chapter 11. And it states, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." There's a lot for us to consider in these few verses from Hebrews chapter 10. First, we have need of endurance. We have need to remain faithful to the Lord, to remain steadfast in our service to Him, just as the heroes of faith did, if we are to receive the promises God has made to the faithful. We know that God's promises are conditional upon obeying Him. In verse 38, in verse 36, it notes, "So that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised." There in verse 38, the righteous are to live by faith, striving to please God. And we are warned in verses 38 and 39 not to shrink back, not to fall away from the Lord and no longer follow Him. If we shrink back, "My soul has no pleasure in Him," says the Lord, and this will lead to destruction of our souls. But the Hebrew writer expresses confidence there in verse 39 that he and the Hebrew Christians will endure and have a strong enough faith not to shrink back and thus preserve their souls, as it states in verse 39. The ones who are blessed by God are the ones who obey Him and remain steadfast and faithful to the Lord. James 1:12 says, "Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love Him." When we consider the men and women of faith, with their great examples in Hebrews 11, we should keep in mind that these men and women did not live lives of sinless perfection, but they were committed to serving God and strived throughout their lives to please Him. Christ's sacrifice for sins is made available unto the faithful of old just as well as for us today. James 5, 7 through 11 implores Christians to be patient and remain steadfast to the Lord. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. Abraham is a great example of faith and endurance, or steadfastness. Paul writes in Galatians 3, 7 through 9. Know then that it is those of faith who are sons of Abraham. In the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, "In you shall all nations be blessed." So then, those who are of faith are blessed, along with Abraham, the man of faith. Let us drop down in that same chapter to in Galatians 3, drop down to verse 26. For in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized in the Christ, have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. We can be expected to be tested just as the faithful men and women of old were tested. It is part of the human condition. We live in an evil world ruled by Satan. Satan knows he is doomed to eternal destruction, and he wants to take with him as many as he can. 1 Peter 5, 8 through 10. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. There are certain traits of character of the heroes of faith that we must also develop if we are to receive the eternal inheritance God has promised to his followers. Let us consider some of these traits as a single lesson will allow. First is their strong faith in God. Hebrews 11:6 says, "And without faith it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him." Whatever God commanded of them, those heroes of faith, they obeyed him. And whatever God promised them, they believed him. In Romans 4, 18 through 22, speaking of the faith of Abraham, verse 18 of Romans 4, "In hope, he believed against hope that he should become father of many nations, as he had been told, so shall your offspring be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old. Or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb, no distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. That is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness." Another characteristic of the heroes of faith is their perseverance or endurance or steadfastness. Despite the trials and difficulties they face, they retain an unwavering faith in God. They did not always understand why God required certain things of them, but by faith they obeyed him. God called upon Abram, before he was called Abraham, to leave the comfort of his homeland in Ur of Chaldees and go to a foreign land far away that the Lord would show him, the land of Canaan. Genesis 12:4, "So Abram went as the Lord had told him." God called upon Abraham to offer Isaac, his son of promise, as a sacrifice to the Lord. Abraham obeyed the Lord, and as he was about to slaughter his son on the altar, the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven. Genesis 22:12. He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Abraham may not have understood why the Lord would require the sacrifice of Isaac, but he believed God would make good his promise to him that through Isaac, the promise would come. Hebrews 11:19 says of that event, "He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back." Another characteristic that was found in the men and women of faith, Hebrews 11, they had vision. They had a clear goal. They had great foresight. They looked beyond their life on earth to something far better. They considered themselves just pilgrims in this world. They were looking beyond the present world after their brief time on earth to an eternal home with God in heaven. Life on earth is brief. James 4:14 says, "What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. In view of their goal of a home in heaven, the heroes of faith lived in obedience to God. No one will enter heaven unless we diligently seek it and prepare for it while we're on earth. The Hebrew writer asked the rhetorical question in Hebrews 2, 3 and 4. How shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was declared at first by the Lord, and it was attested to us by those who heard, while God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. Of course, there is no escape if we spurn the only means of salvation, Christ Jesus. Hebrews 10:26-29 tells us what will happen if, after receiving the truth and becoming a Christian, we turn away from Christ. Hebrews 10:26-29. For if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. Anyone who set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the evidence of two or three witnesses. How much worse punishment do you think will be deserved by the one who has spurned the Son of God and who has profaned the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has outraged the Spirit of grace? All spiritual blessings reside in Christ Jesus, Ephesians 1:3. He is the only means of salvation. If we turn away from Christ and back to life of sin, there is no means of salvation available for us. The Hebrew writer says of the heroes of faith in Hebrews 11:13-16, these all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But that as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. In verse 13 of Hebrews 11, we note, they all died in faith. They persevered. They endured. They held on to their faith despite all the trials and suffering they had to endure, and held on to their faith to the very end. Jesus says in Matthew 24:13, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. And in Revelation 2:10, Jesus says, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. The crown of life is eternal life in heaven. The crown of life is awarded to those who remain faithful to the very end. If you've never obeyed the gospel, you will have an opportunity to this evening. If you're willing to repent of your sins you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you can be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, and you can begin your walk of faith. And if you remain steadfast and endure to the end, you will have a home in heaven with God and Jesus. Won't you come as we stand and sing?